Moncrief on News Talk.
Time once again, as we always do on a Tuesday, to look at stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan de Burka Butler joins us once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
We're going to go to the US first. This is an interesting study, and good news to me, I must say. Coffee and tea, it's been confirmed as going to stop the brain rot.
Well, there's researchers are saying that it might result in you having a lower risk of dementia than those who avoid the drinks altogether. So this was a study. I should say that the study wasn't conducted to find out whether coffee and tea were good for your brain, right? It was data that was taken from a study that's been ongoing for over 40 years,
right?
But the amount of people involved is, so the data set is huge. So it's over 130,000 people, volunteers who've enrolled in these two big US public health studies. And they've been doing various tests on them, all right? So these two tests took repeated assessments of participants' diets, their dementia diagnosis, any cognitive decline they experienced, and then there were scores on objective cognitive tests for up to 43 years, right? And they found that men and women who drank caffeinated coffee or tea had 18% lower risk of dementia compared to those who avoided the drinks altogether.
Okay, but that's kind of, if you like, obviously a correlation that came out as a side product of the study.
Yeah, rather than correlation rather than causation. And they do say that. I mean, they do say, look, and this was in the journal, it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, by the way. And they do say, look, while the findings suggest it's good for the brains, good for the brain, it can't prove it necessarily. They might have other things going on in their lives or whatever it might be. And there's also the side of it as well that if you think about it, like one of the biggest problems and one of the biggest causes with dementia is lack of sleep, for example, they say, right? So caffeine, not necessarily great for people who can't sleep. So do you know what I mean? It doesn't help those people necessarily. So they are advising people and they're saying, look, it's not a magic bullet. It might have something to do with, you know, better cognitive performance and also with, you know, lowering your risk of dementia. But we don't know for sure yet. Yeah. We need to do more research into it.
And is the study in general, is it looking for specific things, or it's just keeping track of a lot of people over decades to see how they do?
I think the latter.
Yeah.
A massive data set from which they can extrapolate, is that the correct term?
Yeah.
This data and then come up with conclusions that may lead to other studies and further research.
Did they find any difference between tea and coffee, which was better?
They said that apparently if you drink between 2 and 3 cups of coffee and 1 or 2 cups of tea, that you fall into that bracket of lower risk.
Okay, that's your happy
For whatever reason.
Okay.
But again, it's this thing. I mean, did they check how much Coca-Cola these people had, for example?
Yes.
And did they take one shot of coffee or a double shot of coffee? You know, who knows? So it needs more.
But there
research.
Are things in caffeine can be good for vascular health.
Yeah.
But it can also give you higher blood pressure.
Exactly, so which isn't good for dementia.
Yes.
So it really depends.
Yes.
I mean, I know myself, I went off caffeine about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been great for me. It's really helped my stomach and various things like that. So there you go.
Okay, swings and roundabouts.
Indeed.
My uncle won't stop drinking tea and his memory is non-existent. But we don't know. So that's what a texter says. It's not my uncle, obviously. Right, Australia we're going to go to now. And hopes are fading for this kidnapped 85-year-old and kidnapped by mistake.
Yeah, it looks like he was. And unfortunately, the outcome just came through this morning that his body was actually found about 12 or 13 hours ago. So this is a gentleman by the name of Chris Bagsarian. He's an 85-year-old grandfather living in the suburbs of Sydney. CCTV footage that was captured showed him about 12 days ago. Two men parking up in an SUV outside his house. They had hoods on. They went into his house. They took him out, took him into an SUV. And that was the last time he was seen alive. A lot of coverage of this, as you can imagine, on local and national television in Australia. And for 5 or 6 days, there was a bit of hope there. The police had some hope that he might be released because there was no ransom forthcoming. And also, They were, as they said themselves, to quote one of the police spokespeople, 1,000,000% confident that these people had the wrong person, that they had taken the wrong person. Now, the police weren't going to say exactly who they think the intended target was, but the media weren't so shy. And they said that the target was a relative of a convicted armed robber with links to the underworld who may or may not have lived nearby. And they got the identity wrong. So this was contracted out to, you know, professional hitmen or professional kidnappers, they believe. So unfortunately, for 5 or 6 days, they thought they might get him back. Pictures were circulating, not in media, but in this criminal underworld, apparently, that he had been tortured, beaten up, but that he was still alive. But unfortunately, as I said at the top there, about 12, 13 hours ago, the news came through that his body had been found near a golf course north of Sydney. So a very sad story. 85 years of age he was, this man.
And there was no ransom note then?
Presumably. No ransom note, nothing, no. And it's all part of what seems to be an increasing problem with gangs in Sydney. The last week to 10 days, there's been drive-by shootings and attempted murders. There seems to be something of a turf war going on between two gangs in Sydney, and it would appear that this man got wrapped up in it, unfortunately.
Yeah. What the media assume was the intended target of the kidnapping, is he safe and well?
He is. It was a relative of a guy called Dmitry Stepanian, who's allegedly a member of a gang called the Al-Madin family. And they're going up against a new generation gang or whatever, calling themselves the Coconut Cartel. And they've been at each other for a while. And it's reckoned that a relation of this Dmitry Stepanian was the target, but they completely missed him.
Yeah, you actually don't think, you don't hear about Sydney in relation to kind of gang violence.
No, you don't,
and that kind
not
of
very
stuff,
often.
At all. Right, the Guatemala we're going to go to next. And this is a story involving the Attorney General was involved in illegal adoptions.
Not when she was the Attorney General, though, right?
Okay.
So bear in mind, Guatemala, a very checkered history, as you know. There was a civil war there from 1960 to 1996. Like so many of these civil wars that went on in South and Central America, it was to do with right-wing, left-wing politics. And her name, by the way, is Consuelo Porras. Okay, she's about 72 or 73 at this stage. But when she was younger, in 1982, she was the director of a school. It was specifically looked after children who had been orphaned during the Civil War, right? Many of them were Mayans, okay? So the Mayans, who would be natives, of course, of this part of the world, were seen as being left-wing sympathizers, so the government would often go after them, okay? And would take their children, kill their parents, and then take their children, put them into these orphanages, and some of them were, of course, sold off for money, exported out of the country. It's a familiar story. It happens a lot in these situations. So she was head of this school in 1982 for 7 months, and now the UN have decided that they've called for an investigation into her to see what her involvement was in that. Now, it's very important that I stress that they've called for it, because obviously in this instance they have no
legal power.
They have no power to do so. The unfortunate thing for these UN experts who've called for this investigation is that not only is she the Attorney General, but she's also the head of the Public Prosecutor's Office, who would presumably be the ones who have to initiate the investigation. So it seems highly unlikely that any investigation will be launched into her at this stage. But she is, you know, she has lots of things going on around her. I'll give you one thing. In 2023, she was named the Person of the Year in Organized Crime and Corruption by an organization that is the Time magazine, shall we say, of that sphere.
My word. Now, the role of Attorney General in Guatemala, does it have term limits? Who appoints them?
So the AG, okay, in Guatemala is, she's going up for election again, so the timing of this isn't great for her. However, when we say she's going up for election, it's not open to the public.
Yes.
There's a 15-person panel of experts that comes up with a short list of six, and then that goes to the president, and the president picks whoever he or she wants.
Yeah.
At this moment in time, she is highly unlikely to get selected for the next election because herself and the current president are at odds with each other. In fact, I think she, if my memory serves, she actually tried to annul his election.
Right,
in 2024.
Okay.
So they don't get on very well with each other. So she's unlikely to come to power again.
Yeah, and if she doesn't come to power again, then she might be in a bit of trouble.
She could well be, yeah.
Especially if the president doesn't like her.
She might be skipping over borders.
Presumably, has she said anything about these charges against her?
Oh, yes, of course, the usual trope that they're politically motivated.
Yeah,
which they might well be. bear in mind, they do come from outside of Guatemala, so it's the United Nations who are calling for this.
Right, Nigeria we're going to go to next, where a celebrity has died from a snake bite.
Yeah, this is a 26-year-old soprano. She was a well-known singer. Ifunanya Ngwa... I knew I wasn't going to get it. Sorry. Ifunanya Ngan... In Wangene, it was her name. Sorry.
Practicing
it all morning and then I don't get it right. So she found fame on the local version of The Voice in Nigeria there. And she, you know, had a decent career going. Last Saturday, she woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning and found that she'd been bitten by a snake.
Right.
She didn't panic straight away because she knew if she got to hospital, she'd probably be looked after. Unfortunately, she went to a local clinic and they didn't have any anti-venom there. She was then transported to a hospital. She got some anti-venom, but it appears that it wasn't enough. And so she passed away, unfortunately. Now, this... the response to her death basically has been an outpouring of grief, as you can imagine, online and throughout Nigeria, but has also raised the problem of snake bites in Nigeria. You've got to bear in mind that this wasn't out in the countryside where the vast majority of snake bites happened. This was in the capital, Abuja.
She was
in an apartment.
Mm.
And later on, when they went back to the apartment to see were the snakes still there, they found two cobras. So the problem around the lack of anti-venom, both within the system and within the country and the storage of it, has raised its head again. And it's a problem that they need to tackle.
Yeah, and anti-venom, is it expensive? Is that the issue, why they don't have enough of it?
I would say it's not in our terms, when we look at it, it's priced between 28 euros and 50 euros, or the equivalent thereof.
Okay. Well, she could have afforded it, but maybe many Nigerians wouldn't.
Nigerians wouldn't, but the fact that it wasn't in the hospital, or at least that's what the relatives are saying, is the problem. And it depends where you are in the country, obviously, right? Mm. So there's an awful... If you get a snake bite out in isolated areas in Nigeria... Well, you're looking to your local witch doctor, to be honest with you, to try and help you out, because your chances of finding anti-venom in a local clinic are relatively slim. Now, I'm open to correction on that, but that's what I've read from other places.
Gosh, I wonder how long you have before you have to get the anti-venom, and that must be terrifying.
That depends on various things, such as the size of the snake, the type of snake, if you're wearing clothes, if you're not wearing clothes, lots of different things.
Wow, what a word. Right, Turkey, we're going to go to finally, when this is a story about people being detained about an OnlyFans account or accounts.
Yeah, several OnlyFans accounts. So this is in Turkey, as you said. 16 people have been detained and their assets worth 300 million lira, so that's nearly $7 million, have been seized by authorities there. This all happened in a sting operation last week. And it's off the back of the blocking of OnlyFans, which happened back in 2023, right, for moral reasons. That was a ruling that was handed down by a court in Istanbul. Basically said, look, if you hosted content on there, that's contrary to public morality and family values. We don't like it.
Mm.
So you shouldn't be using it. But people get around it by using VPNs, obviously, and there's a lot of money to be made, as you can tell by the assets that were taken, you know, 7 million quid's worth or whatever. So at the moment, we don't know exactly who these people are, but we assume that they were the providers of what people go to OnlyFans to see and indulge in. But authorities have identified 10 properties, 14 vehicles and 2 companies that were linked to these suspects and presumably have been seized or are under investigation. And the prosecutor's office are saying that the investigation is ongoing. And we know that there are more suspects as well. They're looking for about 25, apparently, in total.
Okay, right. Okay, so what should we look out for over the next week?
Yeah, I think coming up over the next week, we should watch out for developments in Mexico. There was a killing of a lead guy in a gang there.
Yeah.
El Mencho, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And it has really kicked off. The gang involved are really taking revenge in various parts of Mexico.
And there might be a kind of a power split now that he's being killed.
This is the concern there's going to be internal fighting. There'll be just a show of power from whoever wants to show off, basically. So very concerning, particularly ahead of the World Cup. It's coming up in the summer as well. So it's not good for the image of Mexico. Sort of hate talking about it because I know lots of Mexicans and it's a great place and lovely people.
Yes, indeed.
But it's always this story. It's a terrible image, unfortunately. Then Thursday and Friday, closer to home, there's that by-election in Gorton and Denton, which Labour won in the last election by more than 13,000 votes. But the Greens are top of the polls at the moment. There's concern that maybe the left vote might be split between the Greens and Labour, and then Reform will get in through the back door. Whatever way it turns out, Keir Starmer is really hoping that it'll be a Labour win, because of course he was the one who, well, allegedly rejected Andy Burnham from running there. You would think he would have been a shoo-in. And then finally on Friday, the funeral of Jesse Jackson takes place in the United States.
Okay, indeed. One of our listeners says an Australian crime series called Underbelly, if you want to find out more of what we were talking about before. Jonathan, thanks a million. Jonathan de Burke, a butler there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.